Michael Heyman, and you're listening to a special Changemakers collaboration with Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Over the course of this series, we will be spotlighting some of the world's most innovative, luxurious, and sustainable hotels and the partnerships and double acts behind them. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Wilbert Das and Bob Shevlin, founders of Ushua, Casa Hotel and Spa. Looking for a base for a holiday, the two immediately fell in love with the magnificent Atlantic coastline, bohemian atmosphere and deserted beaches of the town of Transcoso in Brazil. And it wasn't long before they saw the potential for something bigger. In 2006, the hotel and spa was born, carved out of a collection of original fishermen's houses, Ushua's inspired by authentic craftsmanship and preservation. To tell us more, Wilbert and Bob, welcome to Changemakers. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I mean, it sounds and looks magical. Who'd like to introduce the destination to us?
So I arrived here in 2004, first time, kind of by accident on a travel. Got stuck here alone as the only tourist in this place, Trancoso, in the south of Bahia. Not being in love at the first sight, but after 3-4 days, I started to completely grow into this place. And by 2 weeks of being here, fell in love with the place. Came back. Had Bob come over with me to show him the place. Basically, that became our steady holiday place for the next coming two years.
Let's go back. So Wilbert, you fell for it first off. You saw it. You saw the potential. Yeah. Bob, you've never been there. You get there for the first time. What did you see?
Yeah, it was just a really tranquil place, a little bit stuck in time. It was a colonial village and very small little fishermen houses around a town square, which is basically like a green, I think you call it in the UK, is just a grassy town square with a church on one end overlooking the Atlantic Ocean. And not much more than that. And under the hill, spectacular beaches, empty beaches. It is scenery from a movie or something. But the people are a kind of a special ingredient. In Brazil, Brazilians are famously warm people. Bahia, the state of Bahia in Brazil, is kind of known in Brazil as like the capital of happiness. The people are very gracious and very welcoming. And you don't have any sensation of being a stranger there.
I love the capital of happiness. That's a really, I mean, is that the thing? I mean, you know, because obviously when you look at things like websites and you read the articles, I mean, it's a sort of, I mean, you get a sense of a place, but in terms of the spirit of the place, is happiness, Wilbert, what you fell for, what you fell in love with, do you think?
Definitely a very emotional trip, that first one, and all the ones that came afterwards. Because if you feel the idea that there is this little town square is very, how do you say, very simple. The life is very simple, but also the construction of this place is very simple. And it's completely carless. Mm. There are no cars inside. There's no transport. There's not a big connection to the outside world as we know it. City life, for example. They're also very feet on the ground. They're very
grounded.
The places are simple. That is what caught me most.
But from the get-go, the environment has been a major part of the project. I was reading a piece in the Times which talked about the hotel as being luxury with a clear conscience because of the real commitment to environmentalism from the get-go. If you were to bring some of the features to life in terms of what guests and what people can sort of experience from that side of being respectful to the planet, mindful about its resources, and actually not feeling like you're part of the problem. Bob, what would you say about it?
First idea was that we started to make a hotel out of homes that were already existing, and that we kept exactly as are from the outside. And basically on the inside, we kept the same spirit. We just changed them to spaces that are more of nowadays.
But Bob, you've been an activist in this space. I was reading your biography. How does the activist become the hotelier?
Well, I think for me, from the very beginning, Wilbur and I, we had a background in fashion, and Wilbur, a spectacularly successful career, and mine pretty successful as well. And at a certain point, you got to find the reason to get up in the morning. You got to find the motivation, and just selling more clothing, getting more money, it just really wasn't it for me. And I think Wilbur as well. When we discovered Trancoso, for me, it was just like this opportunity to make a business which would be successful, but through its success, set a kind of example, what a business can be. Because we're not doing philanthropy in the sense of just giving. We're really trying to make a profitable and successful brand that just does everything right. That's just what the pursuit was about.
Doing good and doing well as well.
And I have to admit, having someone like Wilbert, you know, if you can get a spectacular talent who's willing to not just say they're going to walk away from a corporate world, but actually do it, then the potential is really incredible. And that's what I had in Trancoso, is Wilbur was willing to locate himself down there, dedicate himself to working with craft and local artisans and make a project which is supposed to be kind of exemplary, an example of what you can do. You can be profitable and you can leave a really, really good mark on the world.
Well, but I mean, I'm interested. At what point does the kind of creative genius, as I've read you describe, the creative genius behind Diesel suddenly decide, you know what, I'm going to be a great hotelier and I'm going to be a destination creator? I mean, let's fill in the gap between that sort of like the morning that you woke up and thought, I'm going to do something completely different.
You know, actually, it wasn't even like that. I decided one day to leave that heavy fashion life with a lot of pressure and with a little bit of guilt in my mind of overflooding the world with products that maybe not everybody needs all the time. My first idea was actually to do nothing after this life. And then this whole Trancoso thing happened. And then after 2 or 3 months, I had to do something. I couldn't live my life on a beach. That was the idea. So that at that moment, we started building things, built one house, two houses, three houses, ended up with 9 at the beginning. Now I think we're with 13. And in the meantime, I've built more than 20 other homes around here. It's just the idea that I can't stop creating things, making things.
So the creative spirit is there.
The big difference nowadays is that I'm making things that will stay. Well, before it was things that had a very short life. And this is things that will change my life, other people's lives, and for a longer time.
So I get the creativity and I get the activism. What have you learned about becoming hospitality and hotel creators in terms of creating a destination experience for your guests, Paul?
Oh, I would say follow your vision. And of course, we're not in a corporate hospitality. We have a boutique hotel, but I always loved hotels that had a distinct personality. I loved hotels founded by people who just seemed like they were in love with a destination and needed to share it and needed to like call everyone to come and experience it. And I think that's what we were in Trancoso. We just really love this destination. We want all of our friends, all of our family to come there and see that you can mix this kind of modernity and a very kind of primitive atmosphere together in a tasteful way. That for me is what I learned. If you have a vision of really what you think hospitality should be about, you know us as a brand, but actually if you come to our hotel, there's no branding. It is really a little bit like being in the vacation home of a friend or somebody. Mm. That's the vibe that we loved, and I think we realized it. So,
does that make the guests additive, Wilbert, to the place? I mean, you know, quite often when you see big 5-star experiences, you know, guests come in and guests leave, but they're never really part of the community. They're never really part of the vibe of a place. I mean, is it the case that an Ashua guest does more, is more, is part of more, or do people just sit on a beach and just chill out?
No, I think they definitely feel more because they feel like they live in this little town. They feel like they live in the front, that they actually are part of this little community. And the contact between staff and guests, let's say, it's a very different one than what you're used to in a luxury hotel. It goes all a little bit more friendly, a little bit more smooth, and very real in a way. Because we like to treat our staff as best as good as the guests. Big difference.
So I suppose, I mean, I've read that you've described Ashira as an experiment as well as an experience. If you were to talk about the experiment from the point of view of the formula, I guess the people, the team, the guests, the destinations, in terms of what that adds up to in terms of the sense of promise for people that might think, you know, well, I'd like to go there. Give them a sense of what awaits in terms of why they should come, I guess.
Well, I would say we started with a place where the local people were incredibly welcoming and incredibly friendly. And that had the potential, of course, for great hospitality, because friendly people make great hosts. But what Wilbur and I kind of envisioned in the very beginning was really elevating the staff, because who better to give service than somebody who is happy and proud? Who better to greet you in a hospitality environment than somebody who's having a great day and feels valued and feels well-treated? And that was the premise, really, for starting the company. Invest in the people and make sure that they know that we're on board with them. Very recently, there was a social media. I'm not a big guy for following Facebook chats or anything, but there was a...
Wait till we have this episode launched, Bob. You'll be all over it.
There was an interesting episode recently. There had been actually an unfortunate accident in a kitchen of another business in Trencoso. There had been a fire, and it started a thing about conditions and working conditions. And there was a little bit of a pile on that business, and that didn't take care of their facilities. And amid all this stream of negative comments, a woman who hasn't worked with us for 5 or 6 years, she jumped on and she said, oh, well, actually in Ushua, it's really great facilities. And Wilbur actually eats lunch with us every day. And it was this just spontaneous comment about the kind of atmosphere in our business to counteract a kind of a negative thing. But I have to tell you, I was really, really proud to read that. It was just very honest, very spontaneous. And it's really what we were trying to always achieve, is that the people working there don't feel inferior to the people they're hosting, and have this pride and that can make them give a friendly service.
But I suppose also that gives a meaning and a meaningful experience for people. Because, you know, it's interesting. I mean, you know, not one of you has yet started listing, you know, you can do this, you can do that. I mean, it feels like quite a spiritual experience. And, you know, as stunning as it is, you're not talking to me about the views I can see right behind you there, Wilbur, which for the benefit of guests is a beautiful, lush outdoor experience. It feels like there is something that is on a slightly higher plane in terms of what this place is and what its appeal to you certainly is.
I think in a way this place has done for me and for Bob, and actually for most of our friends that have been here, it's a place that has been grounding us a lot, and think very much about the important things in life. And some people have even said, like one friend of mine who was also in fashion business, he used to say, oh, either I spend my money on a psychiatrist or I spend it on 1 week to come to your place. But it's just because when he comes here, you forget about everything. That's kind of the thing, because it's kind of going back to original, very kind of rooted feelings of the humankind, I guess.
How do you think?
That is one of the things which I think is most important.
I'm going to ask you to answer about each other. I mean, Bob, how do you think Wilbur has changed? And Wilbur, how do you think Bob has changed over the years that you've worked together? I mean, let Bob go first, and then Wilbur, you come in. But tell us about the Wilbur sort of like those years ago looking for a holiday home and now running this sort of wonderful hotel.
I don't feel like Wilbur has changed so much. I think that he has this context now to really work with his values. There was something a little bit incongruous when he was creative director of a big global fashion house. And he can tell you the number of design pieces he was putting out a year's 12,000, I think.
He's looking more stressed as you're speaking.
Yeah, I do think fashion changed over the years that he was in it. It started as a, he was doing a very Italian production, and it became this global thing with a lot of manufacturing in Asia. And I think that somehow there became a distance between him and his own values and the industry he was working in. And now I feel like it's almost kind of like a correction, not to speak bad about the fashion industry. It gave us the opportunity to do everything that we could do, but fashion industry does need to turn towards sustainability. I
don't think anybody would disagree with that at all. Wilbur, how do you see Bob's sort of evolution during the, you know, your journey with Issuer?
Well, Bob, I think in the beginning wasn't as, because I was over my ears in love with this place, like really, it was a very love at first sight. Bob has came, it took him actually a few years to get to the same level as I did. Even if we were both completely in this 100% and the creating of the whole concept and the whole place. I think Bob, it took him a longer time to get into the vibe of this town, and also to get him out of the sort of, well, maybe not city values, but maybe more Western world environments where we both come from. I think that has made him... The whole activism has grown much, much more over the last 10 years, let's say. And it's just only growing. We are both realizing more and more that we thought we could do something. I think with the result of, but without going on the streets, but more actually by doing it. And we saw the results quite fast after 3-4 years immediately in our environment. And then I think Bob took this whole thing up to make that even more bigger part of his. So his concentration on education, on activism, become stronger and more important for us.
But for both of you, it sounds like there's a consciousness that has been, you know, to somehow been achieved through living, working, growing your lives in this very special place. And I guess that speaks to the activism of climate change is obviously something we've spoken about a little bit during this interview. But of course, it's not the only very difficult issue that the world faces right now. Coronavirus is sadly another one of those. How has the experience of the pandemic been for you and the local community?
Strangely enough, when you hear the news about Brazil in Europe or in the States, it's always been really, really bad that everybody's been handling it bad. And they kind of have. But if I look at my Troncoso experience, actually the first 8 months of the pandemic here in our little town were very, very well controlled. There was no cases. Everybody was keeping their inside their homes, much stricter than any other place that I've seen, because I did travel during European summer. I went to Europe. So I saw a very big difference between the two. Now, when the cases came up at the beginning of this year, yeah, there's been a lot more messier politically wise. And but also the way they are conducting it here. And everybody is so tired here at the moment in the village because they didn't see anything. They didn't have any real cases around them to see. So they became a little more loose. So now they were in the middle of this place. We don't really know. There's more cases than we've seen previously, still not like what you would expect if you see the news. At the same time here, there's also a big peak in tourism.
Michael, I have a kind of an interesting story to tell about the pandemic. Is in a strange way, it was a real opportunity, if it's a strange word to use, but we've been doing what we call, you know, sustainable tourism for over a decade there. We even support an NGO, which is about sustainable tourism, is about training local young people to get good opportunities in the tourism industry instead of having people arrive from outside, from big cities with a little more skill and education and taking the good jobs. So we've been really on this sustainability mission for over a decade. When the pandemic came, and it came quite suddenly in March 2020, from one day to the next, all hospitality businesses, restaurants, and hotels were ordered to close. Uh-huh. At that moment, I was pretty decisive, and I have a very good woman who works with me. Her name's Laura. She's our kind of community sustainability director. We immediately thought, okay, we need to get the food stocks from our hotel, from our restaurant, and from all the other restaurants and all the other hotels, we need to get those out in the community because they're going to perish and there's no reason for that. And literally from one day to the next, we had kind of started a new charity, which was about feeding people. We didn't know how long the lockdown would be. We had no idea, but to see the food go to waste seemed senseless. So that start became a very major charitable initiative where over the next 7 months, I think we were feeding 5,000 people in Trancoso because the economy literally shut down for 7 months. And the people, they didn't have preparation for this. And these were people living day to day. When I say the word opportunity, all of the powers that I think are not about sustainability, including the local government, including mass tourism companies, they all disappeared in this period. But very visibly and very actively, and I think courageously, our business, other businesses who actually give a damn about community and sustainability, they all got together, competitors alike. Everybody worked just towards feeding people. That was it.
So that's simple mission. So it's interesting because I mean, I suppose that brings us back to my last question, which is, you know, that lesson of community. You've said in the past that Assure is your attempt to share the life lessons of Trancoso in terms of your sense of actually lessons for the world. And I suppose one of the things that we've heard there is that this way of living equitably and living in a way that feels like you're making a difference, doing things that sort of really feel like they come from a good place. I mean, is that the lesson? I mean, does that capture the kind of Assure difference in terms of it being a good place, Wilbert?
I think this for me has definitely been a life lesson in the sense of that I think simplicity and beauty, putting these two things together with a very human approach, I think that is. The most important thing in life. With simplicity and beauty, you can also achieve a lot of very good things around you. And this is not about buying, this is not about producing, it's just about doing things in a really simple and beautiful way.
Simplicity and beauty. Bob, what's the lesson the life lesson of Trancoso that you'd share with us?
The life lesson for me is probably you can make a difference. You really can. The hopelessness and despair about this world, you know, the apathy that some people have, I don't buy into it because Wilbur's a uniquely talented person, but I'm just a regular guy. And we make a huge difference in a lot of lives. We make a big difference in the trajectory of families. And I'm just an ordinary person. So, you know, that gives a lot of meaning to me. The fact that if you really are decisive and you really set your mind to it, you can make some change in this world.
I think you're very special people, if you don't mind me saying. And I love this story of the Trancoso holiday home that became a dream that others can share with you. Wilbert and Bob, thank you so much for joining me on Changemakers and sharing your story with us.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Thanks for listening to Changemakers with Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And you can find out more about the Smith Hotels collection at mrandmrssmith.com, where listeners to this podcast can enjoy a special £30 discount off any of these extraordinary hotels with the voucher code Changemakers. That's the voucher code Changemakers for £30 off any Smith Hotel. Thanks for joining us. Changemakers is brought to you by the campaigns firm Seven Hills and presented by me, Michael Heyman. Pure Being is the name of our soundtrack, and it's written and performed by the brilliant BT Wolf. To find out more, head over to changemakers.works, and if you like what you hear, why not give us a rating?